sit at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Justice. Justice.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Criticism.
Right.
Will.
Peace.
Losers.
Men.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall. And I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
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 Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Progress.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solid.
Responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, with my co-hosts, Tetenda Chikukwa and Gord Barnes. Today, no special guest, but we're going to touch on different events and issues in the human rights world at home and abroad. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
And welcome especially to Tenda, because you're going to kick things off.
Yes, I would like to let everyone know that Amnesty International is going to be participating in this year's Dragon Boat Races at Wascana on the 29th and 30th of August. And you can register for that by going to Atlantis Cafe on Tuesday next week at 7 p.m. And I have all the registration forms. All you need to bring is yourself. And $60, which will get you 5 practices and Amnesty International t-shirt. So that's Atlantis Cafe, 7 p.m.
It's a wonderful t-shirt. And we have a good time.
Yes, we do.
Yep.
Well, this is my first year, so
I'm presuming I'll be selected to steer our vessel this year again.
Sure. There's a bit of competition for that,
I know,
but
yep.
But if you have, you know, experience, why not do it again? Lead us to victory.
It's a lot of fun. Friday, that's where a lot of the fun is, because we have sprints, you know, which are kind of, they're a very casual kind of thing. We get a taste of what it's going to be like, and then afterwards comes the party.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of, there are literally fun and games kind of thing. And we have a beer tent and just a really good crew of who are really interested in having a good time,
mm-hmm.
which we do. And then we have, the competition is really interesting. And it depends on the weather. It gets kind of interesting with weather sometimes, but...
Yeah. Like today, I really expected it to be sunny. Like yesterday, it was supposed to rain, but it didn't.
Yeah.
And then,
but no big deal. And we have stayed upright in the, what is it, 3 years we've done this now, Gord?
That's right. Yep. And we've we've never tipped a boat or never been swamped. And having said that, there have been boats that we've witnessed where they've been under the water.
Yeah, that's right.
In the water.
Knock on wood for that. Not let that happen in Wisconsin.
Well, we all wear life jackets, so there's no problem there. And
the water. Have you seen the water, though?
It's okay.
Can't even think about dipping a toe in there, let
no,
alone.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's actually not that bad. It's not, you know, I have seen, I've lived in places where you know, you have things like algae and whatnot, and that is not a problem, you know.
Okay.
So, like I used to live in Weyburn, and the reservoir there, Nickel Lake, I think is what they still call it. And boy, you come out of there green if you go in, you know, like.
I hope it exfoliates your skin at least.
Anyway, no, you don't have to worry about the water. It's fine. You just don't want to be in it. But, and even the crew that we saw that got a little wet, the boat kind of swamped, but it didn't sink, and everybody just sat there, and you know, it wasn't a big deal. It was just a little embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of fun.
Well, let's not let that happen to us.
It was fun for the rest. I think, you got to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Lots of times you end up a little wet, you know, from splashing. You've got your paddlers that you're participating with, and some of them splash a little more than others, and you may end up damp.
Yeah. But it's okay.
That's right.
Well, people are going to be damp this weekend. I think there's a Pride Parade in Saskatoon.
Yes.
Today?
Yeah, I think that's where, if you were listening to our previous show, Dylan and Michaela and Stephanie usually are on the show live. And mm-hmm. They did a rebroadcast of a previous show today. So they're up in Saskatoon participating.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
and Gord, you were at Pride this last weekend.
It was really good. Just to wrap up the discussion though, to tend about Dragon Boat, it is a lot of fun. And your plan, I guess, is to be at Atlantis on Tuesday, June 24th at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Anybody who would like to consider getting more information or actually registering for our boat, you'll be there. And we need 22 people. That includes a drummer, somebody to steer the boat, which Jim's volunteered to do.
Well, I'm going to try out.
All right, and then
if somebody really really wants to do that, you know.
So that's 20 paddlers we need, and just for the people who aren't familiar with the Regina Dragon Boat Festival, the festival itself is Saturday, August 30th, and there's 3 races guaranteed that day for every boat. Plus, as I say, the Friday night sprint that Jim was mentioning, and we're going to be doing 5 practices. So it's a great opportunity to have a lot of fun, get out in Wascana Lake and enjoy the summertime. So we were going to spend a little bit of time today sharing sort of updates about current events in terms of human rights events and issues. Tatenda, you were mentioning about the Pride Festivals but happening. Also, we wanted to provide a little bit of information because today, actually, June 20th, is World Refugee Day, a significant day internationally. And tomorrow, June 21st, is National Aboriginal Day, which we'll be participating in and encouraging other people to. And also, another day that's coming up very quickly is on Thursday, June 26th. It's the International Day to Support Victims of Torture. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So the first one is just to wrap up some of the news with regard to Pride events in Regina and Saskatoon. Last Saturday was the Regina Pride Parade, and it was really well attended, despite a little bit of a question mark around the weather as we went into it. We managed to get through the parade without getting really wet. We had a lot of fun. It was very well attended, and I think people really came together as a community to support the various Pride events throughout the week in Regina. And as Tatenda was mentioning, Pride happens in Saskatoon. It's happened in Prince Albert and Moose Jaw, other communities in Saskatchewan, and we're going to be involved in the Saskatoon Pride Parade. Amnesty International members will be carrying the Pride banner there as well. So
great.
If you're in Saskatoon, look for the Amnesty Pride banner there as well. So
do we have any Regina Amnesty members there?
We've got some of the Saskatoon folks will be up there with the Pride banner. So, which is just great.
I was just wondering if some of our own members were going to travel up to Saskatoon and take part.
Yeah. Well, we're involved in other events tomorrow, which we'll come to
here
in Regina. So it's a busy time of year and lots of stuff to share. But just while we're on the topic of you know, the Pride festivals and stuff, I guess it is significant too. And I was just reflecting a little bit about it because I heard earlier this morning about the very, very significant large Pride. It's an international Pride festival that's happening in Parade in Toronto this year. It will be the world's largest. And, you know, people are talking about it's come about really because of the significant support that members of the community have committed to making that a success every year. And people, therefore, are coming from all over the world to participate in the Pride events in Toronto. And you know, it has a good connection to some of the other human rights concerns that we do address as Amnesty International members. There are places in the world where people have literally had to leave their country as refugees because, you know, of their gender orientation. And unfortunately, Canada has not always been very welcoming in terms of our refugee policies to people who are LGBTI people, and we need to continue to campaign on those issues. Another concern is obviously in particular countries, it is very, very dangerous to be involved in any same-sex activity. And as an example, Amnesty International has been campaigning and urging the government in Uganda not to proceed with the anti-homosexuality bill that they're debating in that country. It is very, very dangerous. It sets it not only that the law itself set a dangerous precedent, but it also sets a you know, a significant tone within the country that is very dangerous. There are other countries where we are very concerned for people in terms of their human rights and by virtue of their gender orientation. And we have been continuing to campaign on those issues. We collected signatures during the Pride event with respect to what's happening in places like Cameroon and Bulgaria. And also want to make people aware that there's actually legislation that's before the Senate in Canada. It's Bill C-279. It's a proposal to amend the Canadian Human Rights Act to include gender identity as a protected ground, and also to amend the Criminal Code of Canada to prohibit the promotion of hatred on the basis of gender identity. You can find more information about that as well on the Amnesty site. And we need to, you know, encourage everybody to support the proposal to urge the Senate to pass Bills C-279 as quickly as possible. We urge you to contact the members of the Senate of Canada and express your support. So those are a little bit of things that we wanted to share about Pride events. And I think maybe, Tatenda, did you want to share some stuff about National Aboriginal Day, which is happening
Saturday? Yes, happening Yeah, tomorrow is Saturday. Yeah, it's happening Saturday at Wascana Park.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just a day to celebrate Aboriginal cultural and heritage. And the director of the day said, celebrating our connection to our culture on National Aboriginal Day strengthens our awareness, pride, knowledge, and overall health. And when we share our culture, we create better education by understanding, and everyone gains. I think it's going to be a great event. I have never been to National Aboriginal Day ever before, so... And I'm really excited to see all the people there.
Well, you know, the fact is, excuse me, the fact is that Aboriginals form a really large and important part of Regina's citizenry here. And I think everybody should do themselves a favor and go out and attend and make themselves knowledgeable and aware of the cultural aspects of the Aboriginal population here. And I've been to a few of these events, and they are a lot of fun. They're very interesting. Yeah.
And for those folks in Regina who have never had an opportunity to participate in a powwow or attend a powwow, there will be a powwow in the afternoon. Just for people, you know, Wascana Park is a big place. So it's going to be just in the space that's... close to the Royal Saskatchewan Museum, and you'll be able to find it quite easily if you head over to that corner of the park. Between the museum and the lake, really, is where it's all going to be set up, and it's a lot of fun, a lot of great events, some good food.
We're going to be there.
Yeah, and yeah. Amnesty will be there with some petitions and also information. We're going to have copies of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples to share. And also be encouraging to people to continue to support the Our Dreams Matter 2 campaign, the campaign to support children who are going to school on reserve who currently do not get equity in terms of funding for their schools. And also support equitable funding for social services on reserve. It's going to be a great event tomorrow.
I was going to say that I think it would be a good thing for everyone to become more knowledgeable on that particular issue, Gord, because unfortunately our government at the moment is not trending in that direction, and the evidence of that is their reaction to Dr. Cindy Blackstock's considerable research on the facts of the matter. And so far, well, their response to her research has been really disappointing, and witnessed by the fact that they've probably spent thousands of dollars, if not tens of thousands of dollars, keeping Dr. Blackstock under surveillance, trying to find out who knows what about her. And it's very disappointing behavior on the part of our government, I have to say.
That is a waste.
That's
just
my
to
personal
watch
opinion.
Her, like, look at her research, back it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I guess we don't need more studies. We need more action.
Well, the studies are there now.
Yeah.
And Dr. Blackstock has laid the facts out, and they're there. It's up to our government now to respond in an appropriate way. So... that's what we're encouraging them to do. So there.
And, you know, June 21st is really a day where people wherever they live can learn more about treaties. Yesterday I had an opportunity to hear an amazing speaker, somebody who you had as a guest, Jim, when on the program earlier with students from... Campus Regina Public, and his name is Noel Starblanket.
Right.
He's an amazing individual, and he is so knowledgeable about treaties, in particular Treaty 4, where we live.
He was a wonderful guest, I recall.
Yeah, and I was so impressed. Yesterday was the first time I've ever had a chance to hear him speak. He has so much history to share, and I was very... honored to be able to hear him speak yesterday. But, you know, events like June 21st really are important in terms of the community coming together. Noel Starblanket actually is in a role right now where he's a sort of a consultant through the office of the treaty commissioner. And what he does is go out and talk to school groups and community organizations, workplaces, about treaties and the importance of recognizing the history of treaties in Saskatchewan and in Canada. And, you know, he says we are all treaty people and we're all party to those treaties. This was not a one-sided arrangement, and we need to learn about our treaties and respect them as well. So,
has he spoken at the university?
I believe he has, but probably not for a little while.
Uh-huh.
But he, you know, when I heard him talk yesterday, he was really interesting to hear about some of the experiences he's had going into the public schools in Regina and getting so well received by schools, by students in the school system. You know, he was saying that he is a residential school survivor himself, and he talks about that experience and reflects on it. And one of the reasons that students are so interested, he's asked the teachers, why is it that students are so interested in learning more about this? And teachers are telling him it's because students recognize what happened during their residential school experience was so unjust in terms of young people being taken away from their families and put in a school system that was so abusive. So it's, good to see him out connecting with students in the community. He was even sharing how he's been to schools where there are First Nations students, but they, you know, for one reason or another, have never self-identified as First Nations because they've never felt comfortable within the school system or in the particular neighborhood they live or whatever as doing that. But by virtue of him going out and sharing information about his own history and culture and language, which he's, providing information about, more and more students are now self-identifying, which is a very positive thing.
If the students are not weren't self-identifying, what was the school doing to encourage Aboriginal education before?
Well, this
before Noel spoke.
Very, very little. It's a relatively recent event in, you might say, Saskatchewan days that people have even had an opportunity to learn in an appropriate way within the school system about treaties. And that's a good thing that's happening now. Mm-hmm. And, I was encouraged to hear him indicate that students are receiving it in a positive way. Unfortunately, many of us who grew up in an earlier day did not have the opportunity to learn the way school students today are. And it's a very positive thing. He was sharing another event where he spoke actually in Moose Jaw to over 1,500 students at once and got a tremendous response. He is actually, a remarkable individual. There's been a documentary, a movie made about him called Star Blanket. And he was the chief of what was the, referred to now, the Assembly of First Nations. It wasn't the National Indian Brotherhood at an earlier day. So he is an amazing individual. And as I say, if anybody ever has a chance to hear him speak, be sure you do that, and take the time to learn more about our treaties. So I think we're probably getting a little bit close to the break right now, but we've got a few minutes. Did you want to just remind people again, just before we go into the break, where you're going to be on Tuesday night to register for Dragon Boat? Shall we do that?
Yes, I will be at Atlantis Cafe at 7 p.m. And that Tuesday is the 24th of June.
Right.
Yes. And also, we have letter writing that day. So if you want to stick around and, write some letters, we'd appreciate that too.
Cool. That'll be fun. And Dragon Boat Festival is
29th and 30th of August.
Great.
Yeah, and just $60 per person to sign up for 5 practices and a t-shirt.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So after the break, maybe what we can do is come back. We haven't talked about the significant date today yet, which mm-hmm. is yeah. World Refugee Day. So mm-hmm. we can reflect on that a little bit. It's something that people are marking all over the world. I was noting earlier today that somebody said, if there is even one refugee in the world, shouldn't that be a concern to all of us?
Right.
And yet, you know, there are millions and millions of people who, mm-hmm. for one reason or another, have had to leave their country and are even potentially internally displaced within their own country.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to highlight the various concerns with respect to refugee issues in the next portion of the program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People should really understand that refugees are not leaving their countries because they want to. It's because they're forced to. And
exactly.
I think that is the real crux of the whole problem. People mm-hmm. don't understand that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They just they don't see migrants as refugees or refugees as migrants.
Right.
You know, they think it's people just leaving to come to my European economy or something like that.
Yeah.
Good example. There are a number of Christians in Iraq that have, their families have been there for centuries,
mm-hmm.
and now they live in fear in their own homes, and they finally reached the point with all the unrest there that they are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
They just see no choice now with the unfortunate events that have come to pass there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of unrelated points. We are talking about National Aboriginal Day, and we should acknowledge that we are on Treaty 4 land.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we are all Treaty 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And on something totally unrelated, I'm sure when we were talking about, I'm all over the map here, talking about World Pride Parade in Toronto.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone was wondering this question, and I have the answer. Will Rob Ford attend? And the answer is no.
Apparently not.
No, he's actually come out quite clearly now that he used to give us the excuse that that's traditionally the day when his family goes to the cottage. Well, no, that's not the reason. It's just that he doesn't want to and he won't.
Wow.
Period. That's Mr. Ford. And he describes himself as a social conservative, and I guess he has that right. But it's unfortunate. That's all I have to say.
He's not conservative about other things.
Well, yes, that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how things unfold.
That's Amnesty International after dark.
Yeah, we'll all be watching to see what happens this fall when we have the elections in Ontario, and we'll see what happens.
Anyway,
we're going to go to our break now,
mm-hmm.
and we'll follow that. We've got a selection of Brazilian music that we're going to follow with, and I love that stuff. I'm a member, you probably are aware, of the Regina Mandolin Orchestra, and
uh-huh.
my particular group, I'm in the student group, and my particular group had a kind of a Latin-flavored piece. It was called, I think Brazil was in its name, but it didn't actually come from Brazil. It was written by somebody who was inspired by Brazilian music. We had a lot of fun with it. The rhythms are fun, and they
needed more of that at the World Cup.
Yeah.
They needed more of that.
Okay, I didn't watch any of that, so they didn't do much in the way of...
The World Cup song, people were disappointed by it.
Okay, I see. Alrighty, maybe I should have played that. But
No. Please.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Don't feel the best.
Kind of ended abruptly, but I downloaded that off YouTube, and very, very interesting acoustic, you know, guitar work, and very nice. The lady singing was kind of attractive, I would say.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I realized after I started it, there really wasn't good information there.
No.
No.
Anonymous, so, pretty lady singing with a wonderful voice.
In Portuguese.
In Portuguese.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Okay. And you're saying it's Brazilian music.
Brazilian music, and we're doing that because World Cup is happening in Brazil at the moment, and we've got a lot of really enthusiastic soccer fans and...
Football fans.
Oh, football, pardon me.
Goodness.
Yeah, but the green and whites won't understand that, though. You know? Football has a different connotation in Regina. However, we'll suspend that. We'll suspend that momentarily here for a while.
And as you're saying, though, there are a lot of people who are quite...
Oh, right.
...excited about the World Cup. Soccer or football, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it is good to just remind people, too, that not everybody in Brazil is seeing the benefits of that tournament and the World Cup. And there are people who have been involved in very peaceful protests who have been met with quite aggressive response by the government in Brazil to peaceful protests where they've been raising concerns about issues around poverty in Brazil, and also the displacement of people by virtue of the hosting of the World Cup. So, you know, we need to raise those human rights issues as well. And my sense is, you know, even if people are cheering on their favorite team, probably people are very aware of those concerns as well and are thinking this is just not a good thing to be having happen during a significant event like this. And, you know, it doesn't take long to raise those kind of issues as individuals with the government in Brazil. It's easy enough to find information about how you could go online and say, you know, you need to respect the rights of people who are involved in peaceful protests there, and we'd encourage people to do that.
Yeah, it's you know, when you think of it there's an issue here that's quite common to countries all around the world, including our own, where society's love of spectacle it results in hundreds of millions of dollars being spent on things like stadiums, you know, and you have people who have great social needs whose needs are not being met.
Yes.
You know, homeless people, people who aren't receiving adequate health care, different issues. And so it just seems a little ironic that while we seem to be okay with spending hundreds of millions of dollars to build, you know, massive structures, we can't seem to find the resources to properly look after people in need.
There's profit to be gained from having a World Cup. There's no profit to be gained from helping your own people, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. Yeah, that's you know? Part of what's going on there.
But
so,
if we could really like use the revenues from these World Cup events, you know, to make sure that the people living in those countries actually got the benefits of the World Cup, then that would be great. And I think it's also partly responsible of the government and also of FIFA, because they're the ones who pick the country. They know what's happening on the ground, you know, so they're in part responsible.
Where's the next World Cup going to be?
It's going to be in Russia.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes.
I think Qatar is somewhere involved in there, are they not?
I think it's Russia and then Qatar.
Okay, yeah. Right. So, wow, interesting discussion around that. And
the Olympics are going to be in Brazil.
Yeah. And one thing, to go back to your point about the money, the one thing that nobody seems to want to acknowledge, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, the economics are there. When you spend money, you know, provide resources, just money, to people who are homeless, people who they're not as well off as any. That money finds its way instantly back into your economy, you know, instantly. Mm-hmm. So it's not as though there's no benefit there. There's huge benefit, but our policymakers are having a hard time seeing it that way. So I live in hope that our policymakers will change their minds on that one and see the wisdom of putting more money and resources for people who need them. My opinion.
So before the break, we were talking about having a discussion around some of the significant issues with respect to World Refugee Day, which is today, an international event that people around the world, including the United Nations, will be marking, and Amnesty International members and supporters are certainly involved in raising awareness about the concerns with respect to the need to support families around the world who have been torn apart by war and have had to leave their country by virtue of conflict in their part of the world. And Tatenda, I think you really described it well just before the break when you were talking about it, how, you know, it isn't a case where refugees particularly want to leave their country. You know, most people have enjoyed living in their country and growing up there. And unfortunately, where there has been conflict, have had to leave. And one of the most significant examples and where there's certainly a huge crisis with respect to resettlement of refugees is with respect to people in who have had to leave Syria.
Yeah.
Millions of people now have had to leave Syria. Large numbers are internally displaced in that country. And yet the international community has been really, really slow in terms of responding to this crisis.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is put huge pressures on the very close-by neighboring countries who are host to literally millions of people who have had to flee that country. Canada is one example where, unfortunately, the Canadian government has not been very open about even the number of people that have been settled here in Canada, and it is anticipated it is actually very, very low. They just won't even respond to questions with respect to that. You know, there, as I say, people have left Syria to places like Jordan.
9 million people.
Yeah, Lebanon, Turkey, and even to Iraq, and are in situations where they're facing enormous hardship and difficulties. The international community needs to be supportive of these folks. They're people who have to get help to resettle in Canada and in other countries. And we need to encourage our federal government to, you know, make arrangements to welcome a significant number of those people to Canada. We've welcomed people from other countries around the world at times of crisis. For example, I recall years ago when people were leaving Vietnam as what were referred to as boat people. Canadians responded in a very generous way, and also the government of the day did, and there were thousands of people from Vietnam, but also Cambodia, who were resettled in Canada. At the same time, people were arriving in Canada from Chile. Many of those people were, it was a question of being forced exiles. And those people, you know, came in many cases without language skills, and needed time in terms of an opportunity to go to school and learn. But I know many of those people have come to Regina and neighboring communities and are really making a significant contribution now.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, I believe that most Canadians feel our country should be welcoming of refugees. And World Refugee Day is a way of reflecting on these issues. I think, Tatenda, you were going to share a little bit of other information with respect to the concern that the federal government has cut back on health care support for refugees in Canada.
Under their new program called the Interim Federal Health Program, some of the basic refugee rights to health care are now being slashed because there are new requirements. So it depends upon the refugee's position in the citizenship. The refugees are treated differently according to what country they come from, where they are in the refugee process, and how they came to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And this means that some of the refugees cannot see a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think what's happened here, too, is that because of these new rules, there are some doctors out there who...
Yeah, they've taken it to court.
And they've just decided, well, they don't care what the rules are. They'll treat the people and sort it out later. And sometimes it maybe results in people not getting paid for services, but they don't really see eye to eye with the government. You know, they can't understand why you would not allow refugees to get urgent requirements satisfied. You know, if somebody comes in and they have a serious problem, you shouldn't be having a discussion about how they're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
You should be dealing with the health issue first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they look at it. But
even our healthcare system is not even up to par, you know. But that's not an excuse anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that they say this because most of the doctors in Canada are immigrants. which and they're probably cheating people from their own countries.
There's a large percentage, I'm sure. Yeah.
So it kind of makes no sense. It's like,
I'm not sure if everybody will have caught it, but you know, on Monday this week in Saskatoon at noon, there was a rally that was actually organized by doctors and other healthcare professionals at the Royal University Hospital and other healthcare facilities in Saskatoon. It was really well attended and quite well reported on. And it raised this very issue where the government has stopped providing support to particularly the people who are going through the process at this point within Canada of applying to be refugees. There's still support for, in many cases, the people who have come as government-sponsored refugees, but the ones who are really in a difficult situation are the ones who have arrived in Canada and then claim to be a refugee and are going through through that process. And to take away their right to health care when they're so vulnerable is really very, very unfortunate. There are times when it's not just a question of needing health service with regard to physical needs, but even mental health services. And, you know, it is a terrible, terrible reflection on decisions that have been made to take away those services. Another piece that I just wanted to share, and it kind of goes back to the earlier discussion with respect to World Refugee Day, is that in many cases, Canada is not accepting the claims of people who have come to Canada and claim to be refugees by virtue of their gender identity. And that is really a concern for Amnesty International, because the decision makers, the adjudicators who are making those decisions, even within the decision, have often noted that they believe the individual can go back to their country and be safe. And it's just so contrary to what the experience is. It's just not the case. There was an individual that our campaigner for the human rights of refugees, a staff campaigner who works out of our Toronto office, has written about, where an individual who was from a Caribbean island country came to Canada and claimed to be a refugee by virtue of his gender identity. And he was actually imprisoned for 15 years.
Wow.
Before coming to Canada. He came and claimed to be a refugee. His claim was denied. He was returned, and the decision was that it was a bogus refugee claim. It is so contrary to everything we know about the particular country and the treatment of individuals there. So, you know, we need to kind of connect some of those dots in terms of what is going on and really raise awareness of those issues as well. There are other situations as well where people have had very, very difficult circumstances in terms of getting here. People who arrived, for example, a few years ago who were Tamil, who arrived at the West Coast on boats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the response of the government was, in many cases, not only to lock up, you know, individual adults, but also kids, family members, and the processing of their refugee claims was just a terrible reflection on Canada's record. They were not welcomed the way it needed to be. The conflict in Sri Lanka that went on for so many years, it's continuing to be evident that the significant human rights abuses in that country were long-standing. And
what is happening with detention centers? Are they being shut down?
They still exist, largely in Ontario and in BC. And, you know, it happens to be those those countries where, or sort of parts of the country where larger numbers of people will arrive and claim to be refugees.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not a good situation where people, first of all, while they're there, don't have a good access to legal counsel to even assist with their refugee claim. And the processing of them and the treatment of them is not a good situation.
Jeez.
So, you know, we wanted to as well to spend just a little bit of time in the program on another topic, and that is that Thursday, June 26th, is another International Day. And that's the International Day to support the victims of torture. Mm. And one of the ways we can all do that in a significant and meaningful way is to join the campaign that Amnesty International has launched to stop torture around the world. And this is something we've been working on for over 50 years, but by virtue of the increasing awareness that, unfortunately, torture is being used by governments around the world and increasing numbers of situations.
And not even just government. It's also against, you know, like protesters or rebels or like... The funny thing about these protest movements is that people who are on opposite sides fighting for freedom would torture each other in the end. And I was like...
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're fighting against. And this is what you're doing because somebody else has a different opinion from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The governments seem to have the attitude that if they're doing it, it's okay. What do they call it? Enhanced interrogation techniques or something like that. I think that's what our friends to the south call it. And, you know, I think of Omar Khadr, who I think is presently residing in Edmonton at a prison there. There's no doubt in my mind that he was subjected to torture in his interrogations at Guantanamo. Mm-hmm. And that's not recognized by our government. And he's a victim of torture as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are a few cases that Amnesty is highlighting as part of this campaign. One of them is with respect to Philippines, where a woman was at an internet cafe in October of 2013. Police actually stopped her and accused her of drug dealing. She denied that and emptied her pockets. All she had was with her was a mobile phone and a little bit of money, a very small amount. And yet the police actually handcuffed her, took her to the police headquarters, tortured her to confess and to the crime. And she was in very significant pain for days and could not eat. Amnesty's calling on the officials in the Philippines to investigate her torture allegations quite promptly and fully, and then bring people to justice who are responsible. And I think, Tatenda, you got another example of that case that Amnesty is working currently on.
It's a case for Claudia Medina Tamariz. Sorry, I know I'm saying that wrong. She wants the... Amnesty is protesting to get her impartial medical examination so that she can report that she was tortured and that this is a result from the government, the police. And Mexico has actually made torture illegal, but it still continues on to this day.
So there's a lot of different cases. There's another one in Morocco that we're working on. I'm not sure if you want to take a little bit of time just to mention that one, Tatenda.
It's justice for Ali Arras to investigate his torture. He's a Belgian-Moroccan citizen, and he faced torture and an unfair trial and was extradited to Morocco. He faces a few years in prison after a conviction based on confession that was from torture.
It's everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere, for sure.
And we really need, as an international community of people who care about human rights, to make this a priority campaign.
Right, so. For sure. And that's, we're coming down to Atlantis on Tuesday evenings at 7 o'clock to help us write some letters. That's where that comes in, because letter writing works,
mm-hmm.
for sure. Anyway, anybody want to wrap up here with one final short thing about Dragon Boats?
Dragon Boats, 7 p.m., Atlantis Cafe. Be there or be square.
To register, not to get
to
in
the register,
boat.
To register.
Right.
$60 to register for 5 practices and a t-shirt.
Yeah, and the practices are a lot of fun, and the
yes.
event is a lot of fun, and you'll meet a lot of interesting people. We've made a lot of good friends at our Dragon Boat events, and so I highly recommend it, and I'll arm wrestle you for the privilege of steering the boat. As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, founder of Amnesty International, said, "Only when the last prisoner of conscience has been freed, the last torture chamber has been closed, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a reality for the world's people, will our work be done."